Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and it's the Christmas season. We're broadcasting here a little bit after Christmas. We're kind of right in between Christmas Day and New Year's Day. And if you're not stressed out by now, you probably will be before too long. Hopefully your holiday went real well. Joining me in studio right now to talk about some of those stresses is Catherine Salmi from Christian Counseling. Catherine, welcome to Copper Country Today.
Well, thank you very much. And it is a stressful season.
Yeah, it's, we think of it as a time of goodwill and cheer and happy feelings. And for the most part, it is that. Though oftentimes the negative side of the holiday season can creep up on you.
Oh, it can, and it has in the counseling room this week. People are under a lot of stress.
What kind of things are you seeing?
Well, what I'm seeing is, first of all, grief stress. Like if someone has lost a loved one this year, or it can be last year, this is a very stressful time for them. They just it's so empty, and they dread the holiday because in the holiday time, they have what's called anniversary dates that they haven't been through this Christmas and New Year's without their loved one. So it is a really hard time. And I suggest to these people that have come in with this type of holiday stress that they should be able to grieve the way they want to. Many people said, be happy, be merry, it's Christmas. But no, they're on their own journey of grief and loss. And so they have to, if they don't want to put up a Christmas tree, that's fine. If they want to stay home on Christmas, that's fine because it's their grief. But it's very important for them to cry. And also, if they can, to go to somebody's house for Christmas dinner. But people know in grief what they can handle. Be there an hour and a half, and then go home. So that's very stressful.
And you see that it's even tougher for maybe those whose loved ones maybe passed away right around the holiday or on the holiday itself, that it sort of taints it for a very long time, if not forever.
That's a hard one around the holiday, but it's hard for anybody if they passed away through the year or 2 years ago. It's hard, but yeah, holiday grief is really difficult.
Now, it seems to be that health-wise, the stress can have an adverse effect on your health, because we do see, a lot of, people take a turn for the worse if they're dealing with health issues, that the holidays come and that extra stress actually has an effect on them physically.
Yeah, stress does have effect physically. There's a little illustration about a rubber band. And if you take a rubber band and you pull it apart, it has elastic properties, of course. And you can pull it for a certain extent, but then if you pull it too far and it gets softer, it'll snap. And this snap type thing is what holiday stress can do. A lot of physical ailments. I've seen people with colds and the flu. Yeah, if they have diabetes is stress related, and the holiday stress can create their sugars to be higher. That's where we go in, try to watch your food and drink during the holiday season and try to stay quite moderate in that.
Well, what are some other things that make this a stressful time of year? Because not all the stress is bad, but it's still stressful.
Yeah. Another one is loneliness. There's a lot of people out there that aren't around family. The family is out of town and they can't travel. Some people are alone. Mothers, fathers, husbands have died. And that's a real hard thing, loneliness. Especially when everybody's out there walking along the street, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And with those type of people, I'd say be realistic. If you can't be with your family during the holiday, try some new things. If you're a tech person, especially like emails, Skype, FaceTime, call people. if you can't even send cards, calling is really good. And then also for people that are really lonely, going out there and volunteering. We have such a great thing in Little Brothers. Little Brothers has holiday meals, of course, and they need volunteers to help. And a lot of people that are alone tend to go there and help, and they're with a community of other people, and they get to serve the elderly and help with the dinner, and then sit down with a group and have a Christmas dinner. So anytime you can give yourself away, you fill yourself up with fill up yourself in the loneliness area.
Now, another kind of stress, sort of the flip side of the coin of that, one that I'm more familiar with during the holidays is not necessarily loneliness, but it's the obligation to see family. Maybe sometimes family that you're not so comfortable with seeing, or you have a big family, you're trying to juggle multiple families or multiple people that you're willing, that you're trying to see. I recall this, remember when early on in a marriage when both families wanted me and my new wife to be there for Christmas Eve and Christmas dinner, and neither one of them wanted to split time. And it became, a year in and year out stress of where we were going.
Yeah, that is a hard one. That is a difficult one. People kind of work with it that we'll be there for Christmas, but with the other family members, we'll come a couple of days after, and then they could switch the next year. That gets to be hard. And also it's hard when people have dysfunctional families and families that they haven't talked to in a year, and they have to be at that family gathering. And the real key for them is to probably keep their mouth shut. try the forgiveness of the season, and just be there. And that can be a real big stress, family members that they have not got along with.
Well, let's talk about a stress that a family is going to face. And I think that stress is different depending maybe on the ages of your children. So we'll kind of go with talking about when, if you're a family with young children, the different kinds of things you're going to be faced with. One may be simply financial.
Oh, yes, that's a big one. People tend to overspend on Christmas, and then they have huge bills afterwards on their credit card. And, one thing is to try to plan and try to just eliminate some of those huge stresses, like maybe not buy for everyone in the family and negotiate that with other family members. With families, of course, maybe buying something nice for their children if they're older. That's what I see a lot of people doing, like a computer game or sometimes an iPad or something a little more expensive, and then eliminate all of the little things. Making is simple. And then also there's holiday baking and holiday cleaning and cooking, and that can be very stressful. And especially not just always the mother, but it does give women a huge stress because they're interrelational more so than men. Men are more performance. And so, helping that family member who takes on a lot of the stress, like children help your mom, husband help your mom, husbands get help from mom. Just balancing that stress can make the season more joyful.
Now, talking a little bit just again about the financial stress of it because of trying to buy presents, especially if you have children. That we took a couple of lean years and turned it into a positive. It simply wasn't going to be enough to buy everybody sure. people presents. It just wasn't going to happen. And instead of worrying about that, but still wanting to have Christmas, typical wake up in the morning, there's presents under the tree, Santa has come. We took a very small amount of money, divided it up, and we went to the dollar store. And I said, don't worry about, buying the perfect gift. We're at the dollar store, buy, about five items a piece. And then everybody will still have presents to open on Christmas morning. And what that became is after we kind of got out of that is now that's our Christmas Eve tradition, is we go to the dollar store and we buy each other dollar gifts to open on Christmas Eve, you know, and then we still have a regular Christmas on Christmas Day, trying to, you know, remember those times that things were lean and taking a positive out of it rather than having a blue Christmas a couple of years.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Rick. That's a very nice tradition. Also, too, there's families or groups that have a used gift, sort of a, I forgot what the name of it is.
White elephant?
White elephant. And they pass around the white elephant gifts, and if the music stops, they get the gift, and they can interchange it with somebody else's gift. And as I hear it, it's a hoot. Depression is another thing in this seasonal affective disorder. And I had somebody in my office the other day, and they said, I always feel sad during Christmas, really sad. And we tried to look at some issues, and I said, what do you think about seasonal affective disorder? Because it does bother people. When there is the lack of sunlight. Now, we had a lot of sunlight, but people can just even sense winter is coming, and it affects their mind and their body and their spirit. And, of course, sunlight helps. Well, when it's dark in the morning when you go to work and dark at night when you leave work, that hurts the brain chemistry. It modifies brain chemistry and results from light deficiency, and people can feel real sleepy, mood changes, energy is low, there's more sickness, irritability, they may be crabby, relationship issues, and such. And then during the holiday season, this is the epitome of seasonal affective. And I diagnosed that person, and one of the diagnoses is light therapy. But they don't want to be around anybody at Christmas. And there's many out there that have seasonal affective. So it's something that you have to watch. The doctor can order light therapy. If you are on antidepressants, sometimes it's good to go up just a little bit and then go down in the springtime on the antidepressants.
But what is light therapy?
Light therapy is a light that is bright like the sunlight. It looks like the sunlight. It's 10,000 lux or 5,000 lux. A light bulb is 5 lux. And sitting before this sunbox, about 20 minutes if it's 10,000 lux, 40 minutes if it's 5,000 lux, early in the morning can help to revive a person, and it actually changes brain chemistry.
Well, I definitely believe that would work. We had an experience where we were working on a film project, and we were outside in the pouring rain, for several hours in a row trying to do this film work. And then the next thing we had to do was, it was the same day, it was pouring down rain, but it needed to be bright and sunny inside the living room. And we had lighting fixtures, and one was called our sun lamp. And so we set it up outside the window and shine light through the blinds there. And we were working inside the living room now trying to film where it's supposed to be, middle of a sunny afternoon. It was amazing to see the effect. We had been out in the drenching cold rain for a couple of hours, but the effect of that light lifted everybody's spirit and made us feel like it was a warmer afternoon, even though it was about 7 o'clock at night now and raining outside. It tricked the minds into thinking, oh, it's now nice and warm and sunny, and it lifted the mood of everybody on the set.
Exactly, and that's what the seasonal light does. And of course, during this time, people have depression, and some of it is because of seasonal depression or just depression generally, and also anxiety can be very high during this season too with the lack of sunlight, or if you have an anxiety disorder.
Can your immune system be affected by all this too?
Oh, absolutely. I just had a couple people with colds, sinus infections, the flu. Your body is affected.
So it makes it easier to spread that office cold around because of all the other stresses and the lack of light.
Oh, yes. Yes, it makes it easier. There are some more things, just the general issues on how to handle the Christmas stress. One of the things is I had somebody in yesterday, and they were saying, oh, I have so much to do. Oh, I'm just so stressed. I have cleaning. I have presents to wrap. I have the food to get. And I am so stressed, and work is stress. Well, I started looking, and I said, what about the positives? Well, my husband wraps all the presents. I have bought all the food. I'm going to have family around. I just have to clean. And I said, you know, looking at the positives really helps, because even in this holiday stress, there are negatives, yes, but there are positives, the blessings of the season.
Sort of keeping it in perspective.
Yeah, and when we do think positively, it actually changes our brain chemistry.
Now, this time of year, of course, we're supposed to be thinking those, you know, goodwill thoughts. We're supposed to be positive, mm-hmm. but, you know, the effect sometimes is the opposite. And, you know, I think oftentimes if we remember about what the season is and why we're celebrating it, then that can also be a big boost to our own personal, armor and strength to be able to handle the stress.
Right. There was a little term many years ago. They still use it. Jesus is the reason for the season. And this is a time of goodwill and giving and forgiving. And there's the Christmas lights and the Christmas tree and the church services, Silent Night is sung, and candlelight services, and the whole idea of Jesus's birth that gave us peace for a lifetime when we have Jesus in our heart, cradled in our heart like in a manger, as Martin Luther says. So that can help lift up from reading the Word and praying and being with other people if, you know, your belief system is really strong or you want a stronger belief system. This is the time. And then to carry it over 365 days of the year, that Christmas spirit. Also, music helps. And is it Christmas music or whatever music stress? Music has a hormone, cortisol, that helps stress. And that's fantastic. We do have a lot of music during this time.
I've recently stumbled across some music that I have not heard since I was a little boy. It was an old album that my father had, George Beverly Shea singing Christmas carols. And I had looked for a CD of George Beverly Shea with those Christmas carols, basically all my adult life. Never could find it. Finally found it on iTunes the other day.
Oh.
And just playing that in the house really was just amazing to hear those songs and going, I have not thought of this song for probably 30 years, you know, and being able to relive that joy of hearing that music and reminded me of when I was a kid. And you can picture the house and the living room and all the good memories of Christmas during that time.
That's beautiful. And just going back as a child in your head, and that atmosphere brought a joy into your life.
For maybe people who don't have such a good track record with Christmases, some people say they have bad luck at Christmas, what are some things that they should do?
Yeah, that's a good point. Many people think of family when there's alcohol in a family. The Christmas growing up can be a drunken feast, so to speak, and the children feel real bad. And as you grow up, you keep those memories. I guess, forgiveness is a real key, trying to forgive the past. And I, being a Christian counselor, I believe that Jesus can help us in that forgiveness. Also, maybe starting new memories that give joy. Traditions give joy. What can they do that would bring some joy? Like maybe making a meal for the next door neighbors who are really old and can't make meals, and sitting with them on Christmas. Making their new memories can help. Or seeing a counselor. If it's really severe, seeing a counselor for even depression, anxiety. If these Christmas memories are overwhelming and they think they need to work it through, that is also another good thing.
Now, coming up here in a few days, we've got New Year's and New Year's Eve, of course. And that's actually one of my least favorite holidays. And if I was to think about a stress for that time of year, it's because of this this idea that this one time of year event, you've got to make it really special, or you've got to make it, you know, monumental in some way, memorable. And if you don't achieve that, you're going to sit at home because you're a slug and you're a loser and you don't have any friends and you're not going anywhere. So of trying to find something to do and trying to make the most of it, I always kind of feel like, even though if we have and we enjoy New Year's Eve, the following day, it's that, you know, you either regret that you didn't do enough or you regret you did too much.
Yeah. Well, that's a holiday. And one of the things is we have to change our expectations that it has to be boisterous and we have to be out there watching the ball fall down in a party and all the glamour. We can also change that and do something quiet. One of the most lovely Christmas Eves I had was sitting alone at home and just reading In His Steps by Sheldon. That's a beautiful Christmas, a beautiful book, an old, old book. It was quiet. It was serene. We can watch the ball drop and have popcorn with the family. Talking about the good memories of the last year can be another thing. Just sitting around, because New Year's Eve should be about family. And then also people have all those New Year's resolutions. That can get you in a real bind. And yeah, and the real key is, I think it's a known fact that most people don't follow through on those New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, most of them are done in a week. The rest of them are done in a month. And very few of us still have them going by the end of the next year. So.
Yeah, and just, it's good and healthy to be goal-oriented. They also call it bucket lists for some people. What's on your bucket list? And maybe if there's some goal you want, just to focus on that. And then I'm a Christian coach, too, coaching people how to look at what they want and finding the end result. And the key is, in steps, okay, I want some new friends. How am I going to do that? Well, maybe volunteer for Little Brothers. Maybe get into a church group. You know, just step by step. That's how goals are accomplished.
Now, this time of year, I imagine, is also tough on maybe those who have struggled or continue to struggle with an addiction, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, that this is going to heighten those problems.
Oh, yes. Yeah, addictions do heighten, because what you're doing is you're filling your feelings up with the drugs. And I'm going to say drugs because pain pills and opiates are really, really one of the most devastating addictions. And now it's even increased. Or alcohol. And the real key is trying to, for these people to interact with other people rather than stuffing those feelings, sharing how they feel. And in all of this, you know, we're talking about Christmas joy and love and peace. We don't all feel that way. So it's okay to say, you know, I'm feeling really sad. I'm missing so-and-so. Or sad, I couldn't buy this. Sharing our feelings helps, and especially in addictions.
If somebody shares those feelings with you, what sort of actions should you take?
Well, sometimes you don't even need to take an action. Just the acknowledgement can release a person. So you're feeling sad. Tell me about it. And some people just, when we keep those feelings inside, a darkness is there. And bringing them out into the light and sharing with someone a lot of times can release us. We don't have to fix everything. It's okay to have those feelings.
One more Christmas memory I'd love to be able to share, since we're coming winding down here, is every Christmas morning, the best time of the day is the about half hour before, in this case it's one kid, but it used to be two kids. My son is now grown and lives in Texas. He's in the Army. And that quiet moment when everything's done, and it's just my wife and I with coffee, waiting to start banging the pot and yelling Santa came. And so looking forward to that again this year. Catherine, if somebody wants to reach out and, if they're struggling with, a seasonal affective disorder or just stress in general, how do they do that?
Well, seeking out counselors, and of course I can say my name, and my number is 482-2231. Seeking out doctors, too, is very important. But there's a variety of counselors to different needs in the community.
Merry Christmas to you, and thank you for coming on the show.
Well, thank you. And can I just say one more thing?
Sure.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Run, young virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild. Sleeping heavenly peace, sleeping heavenly peace. Thank you.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.